We started this last week, and today is the anniversary of the birth, the beginning of the Sandy Creek Baptist Church 260 years ago. And so Shubal Stearns was born, just a reminder, in 1706 in Boston. He was raised a Congregationalist. George Whitefield came to the country and came to our country, began preaching, and the Great Awakening revival spread through the Northeast, and Shubal Stearns was one of those that was saved. And he, as he read his Bible, as many of those newly saved folks did, they pulled out of the Congregational Church, realizing that they didn't, they ignored much of the Bible. And so they became new lights as opposed to the old lights. And Shubal Stearns identified himself as a separate, and many of those separate churches became eventually Baptist churches. And anyway, as he was looking for a work that the Lord having to do, he was preaching or pastoring in Virginia, and when he got that letter from North Carolina, just pleading with him that they just needed preaching. There were people for hundreds of miles that had not heard the gospel preached for years and years, and he set his affairs in order. He encouraged some of his members to come with him. Maybe the most important thing he did was taking his sister and brother-in-law with him, Daniel Marshall, and we'll talk a little bit more about that today. But they went to, they just began walking and arrived at a juncture in North Carolina that he thought, this makes sense. People travel, it's kind of a trade route, people travel through here, I'm going to put a church on a hill. And literally he just started preaching, and people could hear the singing for miles, and just started coming to see what was going on. And that church grew from 16 to 600 in just a matter of a year or so. And we're going to pick it up there. But as I said, the genius of this work in Sandy Creek is really centered upon Pastor Shubal Stearns. And I wanted to put it in perspective. I mentioned this last week, but he was 50 years old when they constituted the Sandy Creek Baptist Church on November 22nd, 1755. He spent the remainder of his life in North Carolina. He went home to be with the Lord almost exactly 16 years later, November 20th, 1771. And many contemporaries say that comment on the unique quality of his voice, just his personality, but his real success was not due to his pulpit ability or his physical appearance. First of all, as I read about him and read both contemporary biographers and people that knew him and even modern biographers, What each points out is he was totally given over to the Lord. And this is going to be illustrated by his first move, where the Lord called him to go to North, the Lord called him to start a work, and he just gathered people up and started walking, much like Abraham did in the Old Testament. And totally given over to the Lord. He possessed great organizational talents. He organized the work. He challenged his people. He sent out young preachers. He organized churches. He ordained ministers. He taught these churches an interdependence on the churches around them, these Baptist churches around them, yet while preserving the independence and autonomy of each church. By 1758, this is 3 years later, there are 9 Baptist churches already established. Stearns visited each one of them that year and asked each one to send a messenger or two to a meeting he wanted to have. And the meeting really was the beginning of what became known as the Sandy Creek Association. And the purpose of the meeting was simply this. They were going to preach, they were going to sing, and they were going to have conversations as to what God was doing in the region. And these meetings actually became great revival services, kind of regional revival services. And these people were stirred up and went back to their churches and really spread the gospel. Daniel Marshall, who is his brother-in-law, as I mentioned, who was his assistant there at Sandy Creek, he very soon was preaching. He went north. This is up in the just below Virginia now. They're just below Virginia in North Carolina in the northeast corner. And he goes north into Virginia and starts preaching. He led a man of the Lord named Samuel Harris and baptized him. Samuel Harris would eventually be used of God to see great revival spread across Virginia. And then Marshall then would turn his sights on Georgia, and he would go through North Carolina down to Keokuk, Georgia, and begin his work in Georgia. And that's what I said, maybe Shubal Stearns' greatest move was picking Daniel Marshall to go with him. Daniel Marshall goes to Georgia. We've talked about him extensively, you might remember. His son and grandson would follow him into the ministry, but Daniel Marshall would see untold thousands led to the Lord and the great revivals that spread across Georgia, and then through those settlers and then through the Indian nations, and as they went further west, all the thousands of Indians that were saved as they immigrated westward. There was a pastor, an educator, a contemporary of Shubal Stearns who observed and wrote about Sandy Creek, and he said this: Sandy Creek is the mother of all separate Baptists. From this Zion went forth the word. This church in 17 years has spread her branches westward as far as the great river Mississippi, southward as far as Georgia, eastward to the sea and Chesapeake Bank, and northward to the waters of the Potomac. In 17 years, it has become a mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother to 42 churches, which sprang 145 preachers. George Washington Pascal, which was another historian, said and wrote a book on the North Carolina Separate Baptists. He said, "I make bold to say that these Separate Baptists have proven to be the most remarkable body of Christians that America has ever known." And we sometimes pass over these Separate Baptists in the South, but that statement, I believe, is very true. This may be the most amazing group of Christians that has America has known. Pascal would go on to say that the Baptist cause in America continued under the strong Calvinism, that in the Northeast, the Baptists were very heavily Calvinistic. They were called particular Baptists. And Pascal is saying this, he said, had the Baptists or America continued under the domination of this strong Calvinism, he said, Baptists would never have grown in such a force for God in our land. The South is still referred to as the Bible Belt. This is where we get that term, as I mentioned several times. And actually, it's more accurately really described as separate Baptist Belt. And it is what enabled tens of thousands of people to hear the gospel for the next 50 to 75 years. And this little group of Christians, this little group of 16 Christians under the leadership of Pastor Shubal Stearns. And only God could see, I think, what could be done with a small middle-aged man who stepped out by faith, not knowing where he was going, but just headed out and followed the Lord. And I hope we don't just really merely read this amazing work by these people. It always challenges me to ask the Lord to make me faithful and fruitful for His glory as these men did. And just an amazing story of what God can do for with a people that are just wholly turned over to Him. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for these really pioneers. They were going into the frontier. There's not much civilization where they were going. And I thank the Lord for this work, Sandy Creek Baptist Church, and really for what it meant to America for the next 50 to 100 years. And Just a fun story to remind ourselves of in this group of Christians. All right, ushers, if you'll come, we'll take our offering. And please take your hand out. And this week, the girls are going to play Come Be Thankful, People Come. And you can follow along, if you would, please, in our hymn book, 526 in our hymn book, this great Thanksgiving hymn.